The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Feel the presence, Lord. We don't need to wait till we get to heaven to be in your presence, Lord. We can be in your presence right here. And we are.
Yes.
You promised us.
Hallelujah.
And you'll never break a promise. You said that just a couple of us got together, that you would be right there in our midst. And Lord, how we need you. The old song says we need you every hour.
Yes, we do.
Every hour.
Every hour.
Hallelujah. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to you. Lord, there are a lot of burdens in this room and out on the airways. There's people who watch this service. They need to be lifted.
Yes.
And you're the one who said, come unto me, all you will labor and heavy burden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Oh Jesus.
Yes.
Giver of rest and peace. Put in perspective for us, Lord, the things that have burdened us down as compared to you and your presence. That we might understand. In your presence, everything is new.
Yes.
You and you alone, the creator of the universe, the savior of our souls, the comforter to our spirit, watches over us and makes sure that you know, that we know that you're there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Thank you. Jesus, I wish you be up. See, God, I wish you be up, sir. I wish you. Son, God, I wish you be up, sir. On the wish you be up, sir. God says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. For where I am, there you'll be also. Not only in the days of when you are fully gathered together in my presence in the heavenly realm, but I am with you even now, says the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have seen you. I have experienced your pain. I have experienced your sorrow. I've experienced all the things about you. And I am here beside you, says the Lord. Lean on me. Just lean on me.
Yes.
I am glorious and wonderful. And I share my glory and my wonder with you. So that you would know of my great love for you. Receive that love even now, says the Lord. Receive.
Yes.
Breathe in the breath of life. And exhale. And know that I'm still with you even when you breathe out, says the Lord. Be at peace. Let my joy be your strength, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Good to see each of you here today. Yesterday was a monumental day, one that I'll remember as long as I live. The laying to rest of our brother, our dearest friend. You know, I've discovered in life that sometimes I like to make things better. You know, I want to fix things that are broken. And boy, I just, no way I could fix this, son. Couldn't fix it. I had really believed that God was going to heal Bob and restore him to his family. I believed that to the very end. I just, the reality was coming like a freight train as he would diminish. But I always knew there was hope. I've seen God do it before. And there's no reason not to pray for God to heal people and to touch them in the midst of. Don't let your lying eyes keep you from praying.
That's right.
You know, you never know what God's going to do. In fact, you know, you guys knew John Bordelon, right? From Brother Green's church. He was in the same condition that Bob was in, maybe worse. And some men went over and anointed him with oil and prayed for him. And John sat up in his bed and never went back to bed again. Completely healed of cancer.
That's right.
So that always encourages me to remember John and what God did in his life. He lived for 30 or 40 years, I guess, after that, and died of something completely different. Old age, probably. So let me just tell you, since Becky mentioned something that I said at the funeral, I'll share it with you in case you didn't see it or hear it. By the way, if you want to see the entire funeral, it's on YouTube and it's on Facebook. If you will go to FPC, First Pentecostal Church, FPC of Slidell, all jammed together. If you just search that, First Pentecostal Church, FPC of Slidell, you will find on YouTube and on Facebook. You'll be able to find that service. So, it was Monday night, and I had a dream, and I'm prone to dreams. I dream a lot. I don't. Most of it's foolishness. I don't know what it is, but it's in this dream I was standing with the Lord Himself, and when I dream that, I usually figure something's going on, and I asked the Lord. I said, "Where's Bob?" And he said something that really surprised me. He said he's resting. You know, I don't normally think of people going to heaven needing to rest. And he said he's resting because he labored hard and worked hard. And this sickness really took a toll on him. And he needs to rest for a while. He said many rest when they arrive here for a while. I know theologically for some that's a burden to carry, but it's what I experienced. It's my dream, and it's I'm just relating to you what I heard and saw. And Jesus says only He could do, kind of like Bob. He said, "Would you like to see Him?" And I said, "Yes." And immediately I was in a place where there was this beautiful green, like a field, like a yard, kind of a nice and green, and there was a tree there, and Bob was not under the tree, but I remember seeing the tree, and Bob was laying down. He had his feet crossed at the ankle, and he had his hands behind his head, as if as you would when looking up, but his eyes were closed, and there was it was like as if the sun, you know, sometimes in the when the winter's over and we start to warm up a little bit and you can lie out in the sun and feel that warmth. It was like that. That Bob was just ready. It was just feeling him. And I thought it was interesting that Jesus said, "Don't disturb him." And so I didn't say anything. And the dream ended there. But it was, when I woke up, I knew that it was more than just one of my ate too much pizza dreams, that it was something that God was telling me. So Tuesday morning, Pat and I went to Denise's house to meet with Trey and Annie and Denise to try to put together the funeral arrangements, the service and so forth. And I I wasn't necessarily going to share that. As soon as I saw Denise and we were sitting at the table, I thought it was a good thing to do. So I shared it with her, and she was very pleased to hear it. I think it gave her a sense of that Bob's okay, although she knew it, but to hear it. And then she slid me a piece of paper that had two scriptures written on it. One was from Psalms, and the other was a scripture I just quoted for you a moment ago, coming to you all a little labor and I get heavy burden. And she said, this is one of Bob's favorite scriptures. And she was planning on having it read during the service. Well, as it turned out, I said, no, I'll take care of it. And I just built it right into the sermon that I was preaching. So, and it was then that I decided to share that with the congregation. So Bob is resting for a while, and it makes sense to me now that I think about it, that it's time to get all eternity to run around and rejoice and see and do things. But for the moment, Bob is at rest. Don't read into that any things such as soul sleep or anything like that. That's not what it was about. Bob was resting. So that's what that was about. And so yesterday was a difficult day in many ways, but probably one of the best days of my life in other ways. So I look forward to seeing him again. So with that said, David and Grace are so... I hate to say this about two powerful people of God. You're just so cute. I just love you. I just do. I just love seeing you together. You always bring joy to me when I see you. Both of them have big, broad smiles and laughter and joy. And I was getting overloaded. I had so many things to do this past week. And I thought about having someone come in and fill in the pulpit today. And I thought about David and Grace, and I thought that would be great. But I didn't want to, it was kind of late in the week, and I didn't want to disturb them. And I know it takes time to get sermons together. And so I didn't do it. And I was sitting at my desk working on Bob's sermon, of all things. And my phone rang, and it was David. And so I answered, and we had some things to discuss, and we talked about. And while I had him on the phone, I just felt a nudge to ask him if he would like to come fill in for me. And he said, you know, I thought yesterday that you might need some help, and I thought about calling you. I guess he was the same way about calling me that I was about calling him. But since God orchestrated it, I had him on the phone. I asked him if he would fill in, and very graciously he said yes. So David is helping me rest. I do a little rest. I'll just introduce you with that. David, you have the pulpit. As the Lord so leads you and your lovely bride, whatever y'all going to do, I'll applaud and be happy. Okay? Come on.
Okay.
Let's welcome him with a nice applause here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here to see everyone again. It's truly a blessing. I have my wife with me always, and my mom is with us today. It's amazing to have a mom who has children, three children. They're almost all 60 years old. And she's 61. How does this happen, huh? You can tell by looking at my mom that she's about 60 years old. I might get in trouble for that. She may have said, I should have said younger. But it's a blessing to have my mom with us today. And today would have been my father's 88th birthday if he were alive. He passed away back in 2019 in July. And so we're getting together today, along with my sister and her family, after we have service today. And have a time remembering Dad. And as we do remember my dad, I think of worship. And Mom too, because Mom and Dad raised us to worship. And I just want to say, Roe and Becky, thank you. Thank you for the worship, because, you know, the songs that we sing nowadays in our churches, with the lights dimmed and the dark stage and the smoke on the stage, kind of reminds me of a concert more than a worship service. And I'm not coming down on the younger people when it comes to worship, but I do have to say this, that these declarative type worship songs that we sing set the mode for the Lord to really do something.
Yes.
It's really not about us and about, like the last one we sang, it's not about us. And we have to repent sometimes about how we even worship. Because when that song was written, it's not about me. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. But we need to make sure it's all about Him. And these songs, by the way, all of them relate to what I'm going to say today. Who knew about that, huh? The Lord did. We had no prior talk, but everything that you brought forth is basically in what I'm going to say. And I just want to say, Pastor Morris, thank you for having us to come today. It's an honor to be able to come, because you're not only you and Pat, but this whole church is busy doing stuff, doing amazing things in the community. And we might be a little weary. I felt it this week, too. I want you to know it. The passing of Bob Riles has really been kind of a sorrowful experience for all of us. Wow. We've had death hit us like you wouldn't believe this week. Our next door neighbor passed away. Last night I got a message that one of my cousins passed away in Houma. And I'm like, okay, how much more of this can we take? I feel like I'm back as being a hospice chaplain again with all the passings. But yet, out of death, wow, something comes out of death. And we have to be ready for what comes out of death when that good thing comes out of it. Because we can get drudged down if we don't watch it, especially when we see folks passing away here and there. But the passing of Bob Riles really, really hit me, as I know it did many of you as well. When we see good generals, I call him a general. He may have called himself a colonel, maybe a captain, but he was a general. Bob was one of those generals. I spoke that word to several people yesterday at the funeral. I said, one of our generals has passed away. And it was amazing to listen to what people said. They didn't say anything. They just looked at me and said, I know. But we're going to do what Bob would want us to do, and that is to continue on, isn't it? To continue on. Praise God. Well, with that said, I'd just like to give a small summary of what Grace and I have been able to do as of recent, and a lot of it's on that back table in the form of a newsletter as to what we've been doing, and this will be short. We are indeed missionaries to Uganda, Africa. We enjoy being able to go into the fall time of each year, and we go because of your prayers and your support. And you're a part of what we do. And we have been praying since we started going to Africa about a Bible school for pastors. And wouldn't you know, this COVID situation has kind of formed this situation for us to start the school. And what it is, it's a 2-year degree that pastors are able to achieve in biblical studies, biblical ministries. And so we have got this institute. It's called Hilltop Bible Institute. And it's named after the church that we work with Pastor Sam Sombe. And so he has asked us to do this type training for 3 years now. And we've wanted to do it, but now God has opened the door. So another, if you will, check off of our list of goals that God has placed on us. And we know that these goals came from God. These were not man-made, because God knew when it was the right time to start the school. So we have been able to start that school as of February. And then as we hope to return in the fall to check on that and to continue working with the orphanage and with the pastors. So again, thank you, because you're a part of that. And again, more news is said in the newsletter that Grace put together back there. In keeping with what has been already said today, and with worship and declarative worship and the way things are being done today, I want you to turn to your scriptures, to John chapter 12. And we're going to read out of verses 22 to, we're going to read out of verses 22. We're going to start there. 23. And before I get to that, though, I want us to watch a little video that we put together last night. And this video, the pastor is talking to young men. But yet, it's kind of a wake-up call to all of us. But he is specifically speaking to young men. And I'd like for you to watch this. It's about 8 minutes. And if I didn't think it was worth it, I wouldn't have asked that we watch this. But this is really something for us to watch. So get ready to read the scripture when we're finished seeing the video. If you'll have John chapter 12, verse 23 ready to go. But if you can, Jim, we'll go ahead and show the video.
There's something very important, especially addressing everyone, but especially the young men today. You were not born in a culture or a generation that creates strength. You were born in a culture and a generation that has sought to create nothing but weakness in you. Lack of conviction. Lack of the ability to plant your feet in the sand and go against everyone for the cause of Christ. Your generation teaches you nothing of that. And right now, if you find it difficult to walk with Christ now, then fear. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. This is not from some vision or even an interpretation of scripture. This is from just being a student of history. If there is not a revival in this country, and you do stand as a Christian, and I mean stand, then your generation may suffer far more than any generation that's ever been on this continent. And if you're weak now, you will cave then. Question is, what should we do? What should we do? Well, I can tell you what you shouldn't do. You don't need to go back into previous generations and find some sort of model of John Wayne or a cowboy or a soldier and then draw your example from that. No, you must do what every generation must do if it's going to be strong in the Lord and serve the Lord and honor the Lord. You're going to have to live in Scripture. I so often hear these young men talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, but they cannot stand. And they do not stand because they do not need it. In the study of Scripture and in prayer. A young man and a young woman that spends time in prayer before a holy God, that lives, feeds upon the Word of God, can stand when everyone else falls. So the question is this: you want to play Christianity? You want to get in all sorts of groups and have all kinds of fun? Or are you going to be that person who gets in the Word of God and grows? Who gets in the Word of God and becomes conformed to the image of Christ? That's the question. I can tell you that when I was at the University of Texas, countless brothers around me, countless brothers going out, doing things, being part of Christian organizations. And now, after more than 35 years, I look around and most of them are completely gone. Back into the world. Why? Christianity is difficult. It is not going with the stream, it's going against the stream. It is a fight. It is a fight just to walk in the convictions of Scripture. How much more is it a fight when you decide that it's not all about you and it's not all about your family, but it's about 4 billion people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you decide to put on soldier's boots and fight, to give your life to something. Yes, some of you here today who are very devoted, very godly, you also need to understand something. This is not just about your piety, and this is not just about you getting your family to heaven. This is bigger than you, bigger than your family. It is about taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, no matter how it hurts or what it costs. That's what it's about. And I can tell you, I see so many young men wasting their strength in foolishness, just outright childishness, instead of becoming men and thinking about taking the gospel to the world, of dying Christ. I was just with a brother recently and we were laughing together. I said, "Well, brother, I just hope your jail cell is beside mine. I would love to coach you." It may come to that, but so be it. We must be strong, but we can't be strong based on personality. We can't be strong just based on some silly experience at a conference. We are only as strong as the time we spend before God in His Word and in prayer. That's what makes us strong. Joshua has to enter into the promised land. He has to fight bloody, horrible battles. What is he told to do? To gather up all the arms, to get blacksmith to start creating weapons? No. He's told to meditate upon the Word of the living God, and that would make him strong and courageous. The young men in 1 John, they were strong. Why? Because the Word of God indwelt them. Indwelt them. So now, let's go to the book of Romans. Chapter 12. Now, if you notice up here, it also had Psalms 1 earlier. And that is because as I study more and more through the Scriptures, I am astounded at the constant relationship I am finding between either the sayings of Christ, the writings of Paul, and the Old Testament. And when you look at Romans chapter 12, in a sense, we're seeing a New Testament version of Psalms 1. Now, he says in verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice." Now, he is asking of you everything. Everything. Not a few hours, a week. Not that you just give up some sin. He is telling you to give the most costly thing you can possibly give, and that is your entire life. That's what he demands. Recall now all those teachings of Christ. The man who gains his life loses it. The man who loses his life for my sake is the man who finds life. This is a call to die. You're all probably familiar with Jim Elliot. One day after his martyrdom, a friend flew over the site, over the beach where he had been martyred. And the pilot said, "Right down there is where Jim died." Jim's friend said, "No, it wasn't." pilot goes, yes, it was. I was here. I drove the plane. I picked up the body. Right there is where Jim died. I said, no, it wasn't. I was with Jim when he died. In a little church several years ago, when he offered his life to Christ. When did you die? Where's your tombstone? God is calling us to offer our lives to Him.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. If you'll look at chapter 12, and Jesus is speaking to us here in chapter 12 of John, verse 23. And Jesus said, here we go. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me? Yes, chapter 12 of John 23. And Jesus answered, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, here's that famous scripture, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Verse 25, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, Jesus says, my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And at that, there came a voice out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Verse 29, the multitude therefore who stood by and heard it were saying that it was thunder. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice that you heard has come not for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Jesus understood death, and he understood his mission and what he was about to do. The film that we just watched, the video we just watched, was a short encouragement to all of us. And that was, wow, it's time for the young men, which I hope are watching and listening to me today, as well as those who have gathered, to do what we're supposed to do. I noticed that the man in the video, this is my first time ever watching this pastor named Paul Washer. He mentioned not looking back at heroes, not looking back at people to draw some tough image to be like, because God doesn't work that way. Not that we can't respect our elders of the past, but God lives in the now. And he expects us to live in the now and to draw our strength from him. Specifically, the Word of God and making it a part of our lives, as well as prayer. And thank God, it doesn't need to be a strong man to do this. We see this portrayed in many grandmothers who have prayed so many people into the kingdom. And used the Word of God and studied the Word of God as to how to pray people into the kingdom. But yet, some of these of us young guys, and I'm putting myself in there too, we have to take what's being said here and run with it and go with it. But Jesus, more than anyone else, was the one that understood what it was like to be on mission and to be doing the will of his Father in order to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. The name of my message is, "But if it dies, it bears much fruit." God the Father, number one, God the Father and Jesus were so intimately close that God spoke from heaven to the people here in an audible voice to back up Jesus' actions. Isn't it amazing how in this portion of Scripture, and we only have seen it in the Scriptures just a few times, that God spoke in an audible voice. It only happened a few times. But it was usually when Jesus was getting ready to do something so important that God wanted to make sure everyone heard. And then this is one of those places in Scripture. And God speaks out of heaven in an audible voice, and he says, "I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again." It was so important what Jesus was doing at this particular time that God said, "I'm going to back up what Jesus, my Son on the earth, is doing right now, because all that are right there at that time need to hear how important it is what he's saying." And what Jesus really was saying was that he felt that the time was near in verse 27. And I'll explain why he felt the time was near. But first, Jesus knew Scripture, he knew the Old Testament, and he spent time with God in prayer. And those are the reasons why he never failed. He was the Son of God. He was the God-man. He was supernatural. But he did what it took to never fail. He did what it took to do on earth to never fail. Secondly, Jesus knew what his mission was. Verse 27. "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour." Jesus was seeing all the more, even in his earthly man form. Wait, hold on. I'm being troubled in my spirit. Something's getting ready to happen. I'm getting ready to... Whew! It was like he was feeling the persecution. He was feeling that something was getting ready to happen. And he had to express it. He knew that the hour was short and that he would be having to go to the cross soon. Verse 32, it tells us specifically what Jesus had to do, which says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself." What motivated Jesus to say that he will draw all men to himself? I didn't see this until last night when I was reading the Scripture. Why did Jesus say, "I will draw all men"? Why wasn't it just, "I will draw men"? Well, let's take a look. Verse 20, if we back up of that same chapter, let's read verse 20 through 22. It says here, "Now there were certain Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast." A feast was taking place. Now what is this about Greek people going to a Jewish celebration? What was this about? That didn't really happen back in Jesus' day. But because Jesus became so popular by laying hands on people who were sick and seeing miracles take place everywhere within a 50-mile radius... And I say that because Jesus only traveled in a 50-mile radius his whole life, but yet turned the world upside down. But these people were being touched. Now, did they come into being Jews? We don't know. It doesn't say, but it did say that they were interested in going to the feast. And in verse 21, "These therefore," these Greeks, "came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" So Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came and they told Jesus. That got Jesus' attention big time. That's the reason when these Greeks came and wanted to know about Jesus and were willing to go to a Jewish feast, kind of break tradition, because somebody broke tradition. Jesus broke tradition and said, hey, I'm going to minister to everyone. Come unto me, what? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And there were a lot of people laboring back in those days. But Jesus was saying, hey, I'm going to give you rest. And the Greeks were coming to find out all about it. And it got Jesus' attention. And it was like Jesus was saying, what? So now we're seeing people come other than just the Jewish people that I usually speak to. We've got some other people coming. This thing's getting deep now. And that's why he says later on, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men. And these Greeks were included, just like he has included all cultures, all races, all walks of life. Thirdly, I've got something to say. Jesus knew that death to himself physically was the only way for his ministry to bear much fruit. Not that all the miracles didn't draw the crowds, and that many people that got healed wasn't doing its thing, and it wasn't being effective. It was extremely effective. The miracles that Jesus performed, his presence as people were attracted to him, was an amazing thing. But yet he knew that there was a further mission, and that the much fruit that he was talking about wouldn't be able to really take place unless he went into that grave. He knew that there was going to have to be something that he did to bring forth this fruit that he spoke of. And it kind of relates to our life too, doesn't it? The only thing is that our physical life isn't removed when we continue to think about what's being said here. But spiritually, something has to happen to us, and it has happened. And that is, that little seed, which is our life, has to fall into the ground. That little will of ours, that's so big, but yet looks like a little seed, has to fall into the ground, and then it's got to die. Our will has to die. And when it does, and it really does die, and we get over ourselves, and we become born again, and we say, it's all about you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's not about my show. It's not about me and behind lights. I'm sorry, but I'm saying these things today, but they need to be said. When it's not about my talents and how great I am, but it's about you, and that you are truly Lord, then and only then can we really even truly get a glimpse of what we're supposed to do. Wow. The kingdom of God. When you say that to people out in the world, they're like, you're crazy. What is that? We know that the kingdom of God is more real than this physical world. But when we begin to see what this kingdom is all about, it's like, why didn't I get in any earlier? Why was I so stubborn? Why was it always about me? And then when we finally get, especially us guys, a lot of times it's not till we're even 40 years old that we even realize that other people exist. Especially family members and spouses. Thank God for him making us the way he has. We're supposed to be rugged and tough and all, but wow. When a man breaks down and begins to cry and to see and to find out what this thing of the kingdom is all about, it is an amazing thing. And that he has made us strong and made us warriors. And we're to carry this thing. And we're to have our wives submit to us if we're willing to do what it takes to be in the place to be submitted to. Because you ladies, you really know how to support men. You were made to do it, and you're great cheerleaders, and you're amazing. But when us guys get our heads straight and do what God tells us to do, I know how women can't resist that. They're like, that's a man of God, and I need to follow him. I remember that growing up, working with young college students. and how we would pray. Us guys would get together. When I lived in North Carolina, I remember, and we would pray, and on Wednesday nights, and I invited some kids from the college to come over. I was about 28 years old, and these kids came over, these young guys, and they were on fire for God. Well, they started telling the other kids on the campus, we go over to Dave's house and pray on Wednesday nights. You want to come? And so more men came. And it came to the point where the ladies found out about it and said, hey, we want to come. And we said, no, you can't come because you're going to distract us. So they started their own group. And we all ended up meeting on Friday nights together. So they were praying on Wednesdays, the ladies. The guys were praying on Wednesdays. We came together on Friday nights. And we came together at one of the parents of the students in their homes. And for 9 months, we met every Friday night. And it was powerful. And I would speak, and I'd start at about 7 p.m. And we would go on, and we did not finish until 12 midnight every Friday night. I stopped whenever I could stop. I was done, usually in an hour and a half, because they asked me to keep going. But then the Spirit took over, hallelujah, and kids got saved and born again. And water baptized. And this went on for 9 months. And I said, okay, I'm going to do what my youth pastor taught me. I am going to delegate. I am going to delegate because I'm not going to do this all on my own. I'll get worn out. And I started delegating to faithful men and women. And they started teaching. And so after 9 months, it was actually time for me to go. God said, I got a different assignment and hand this over to one of these young men. And I did. Just like this guy was saying today, he went to the University of Texas and he remembers some of those that he ministered to. But I look back now and thank God for Facebook at some of the lives of these young people that we ministered to. Here we are almost 30 years ago. And some of these have turned into ministers and pastors and doctors. And I'm following some of their lives. And it's like, look what you did in 9 months. 9 months. The Word of God was pumped into these children's lives. College students, the professors had not indoctrinated their brains. They had said, I'm going to do what Dave's speaking and preaching, and I'm going to run with it. And what an amazing thing to see. Now, here we are 30 years later. And some of these young people are still in the ministry and doing things and changing the world. Why? Because they died to self. And they said, even though we're hearing the opposite on the university, we're going to do it Christ's way. And they picked up the words of God and they prayed. And boy, did we pray. We prayed. One night we were praying, and here comes up the stairs a young man with a cane, because he was crippled, and on his cane he had a skull. And I'm like, okay, well, he sat over here. And we begin to pray, and in the middle of our prayer, after about, wow, an hour of us guys praying about all kinds of things, this guy says, he starts chanting something. And I'm like, what is he saying? And then he got louder and louder, and he started cursing us. And I'm like, what is this about? And a young man that I was working with named Gerald was gung-ho. He was like Peter. And this young man, who I thought came to pray, came to curse us. And I walked like this over, and I put my hand out, and I was going to grab him, and I was going to toss him out of there. And the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. And I'm like, but God, let me just get him out of here. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And when the Holy Spirit said no, Gerald stood up. Gerald didn't even know the Holy Spirit was talking to me because he was talking to him too. Yeah. He said, let me take him outside. I said, what are you going to do, Gerald? He goes, I'm going to preach the gospel to him while y'all are up here praying. Gerald went out with him outside. Oh, it was an amazing thing. We continued to pray, and we continued to pray for whatever was going on downstairs. Yeah. Well, he leads him to the Lord. He casts the devil out of him. While we're up there praying. Amazing, amazing. And that young man became born again. Gerald, who is now about 45 years old, is leading groups to Israel and teaching about the Promised Land now. I found that out while we were in Uganda just this last year. Amazing when young men set their face to the Lord, take His word to heart, and pray, what will happen. Amazing things. And we all know, we've all got a testimony. We've all prayed and been in circles, like this wonderful circle, like this wonderful church, where we pray and we center in on things and God moves things. But there has to be what? First and foremost, that death experience. And we die every day. We die every day. And what I mean by that is, we die to our desires and we get involved with what the Lord says to do. Pastor Paul in the video pointed out Romans chapter 12, 1 through 3. And I'd like to just go there quickly. Romans 12, 1 through 3. Paul urges us in Romans 1, 12. He says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. It all starts by verse 1, presenting ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. The second part of that says, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That is our mission. Jesus knew His mission, and ours is this: to first present our bodies as a sacrifice, which is acceptable to God, and it is our spiritual service of worship. It is our mission. And once we do these general things, what happens? God starts zooming in on us specifically and say, I don't need you to go to Washington. I need you to stay in Slidell and do what the Lord tells you to do. And then for some of us, He says, I need you to get out of Slidell for a while, and I need you to go to Uganda. Or He might say, I need you to go to that food program, and I need you to work there in Slidell. Or I need you to stay home for 3 hours and pray every day. He gives us specific missions. And it's where we really get our worth. Man, to be honored by God, as we read earlier in John 20, in John chapter 12. Man, when God honors us, like He honored His Son and spoke audibly, because He saw that situation taking place, and He said, I got to say something, because what's getting ready to happen here is going to change the world. So are we world changers? Yeah, we're world changers. We might not be 25 and 26 years old, but we still are world changers. What we are able to do comes only by death, and what I mean is spiritual death, and then coming out of that grave that we fell into, resurrected, and doing the work of the Lord, because it's only through that death process are we going to be able to really, really hone in and do that mission that God's called us to do. Let's take a look here. It says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of yourself or of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Isn't it something how that when He says that we're needing to come as a sacrifice to God, and that it is our reasonable service, and that He gives us a mission, and that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind in order to prove the will of God. And then He says directly after that in verse 3, and don't think so highly of ourselves. As if to say, I've got it all. As if to say, I'm the man or I'm the woman and this is what it's all about. As if to say, no, it's about you. And it's about me promoting you. Kind of like Brother Bob did. Brother Bob promoted people. It really was never about Brother Bob. And I have to say, what an example he was. He promoted so many people because he had that Christ-like spirit that said, I'm not going to think highly of myself. I'm going to speak and do as God gives me the words and the actions. So as we're thinking about today, as we're thinking about yesterday, and how I personally have said that death has come, and it seems that at times, as I was speaking to my aunt last night, she says sometimes it comes in twos, sometimes it comes in threes. It seems like when people pass away, it's not just one, but it's several. But yet, these are heroes that have gone home to be with the Lord. And they're examples for us. So out of death comes life. Out of death comes life. Amazing how when we study people's lives and what took place after martyrs, what they did, it was like they opened up a can of worms. If you took this one out for the sake of the gospel, it just seems like more seeds were cast out for more of Christianity to grow in that area. Amazing how when you try to snuff somebody out for the sake of the gospel, God says, you just caused more of a multiplication of the kingdom because of that person's life being removed. So with more that pass, the more we can believe that God is doing a work in our lives and changing the atmosphere. Jesus knew it was going to take a changed atmosphere. He knew it's going to take my death in order to draw all men unto me. It's going to take me having to be lifted up on a cruel Roman cross. It's amazing how there was no such thing as crucifixion, really, until the Romans came along. And it just so happens that it had to come when Roman crucifixion had to come. The highlight of Roman crucifixion was Jesus on that cross. It took a cruel form of execution to grab people's attention. It couldn't have been done any other way. It was prophesied that he would hang on a tree. And he did. He hung on a cross. But God knew when it was the right time. God knew it took a young man named Alexander the Great, 333 years before Christ, to do what? To Hellenize the world. To bring the Greek language into most of the known world. In order to do what? In order for that language to be the language of the day when Jesus was to come. So that he could relate to everybody. So that Greek language would be the language where it was able to get across to everyone. God set the atmosphere. He set the fullness of time so that when Jesus came on the scene, everything was set. And then it only took 33 years. It only took 33 years. Actually, 3 years of his ministry to turn the world upside down through the apostles and those that he touched their lives. And here we are all these years later with the same message. The same message. The same gospel message. Which is what? Good news? Good news? Good news that what? That we can be in right standing with God? Good news that we're not hellbound? Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people here in the U.S. that call themselves Christian that don't even believe in hell. But just because we've had a posh life like we have in America, get real with me here for a little bit. and we don't see the rest of the world living the way they do. Sometimes the rest of the world, in their hardships, in their great hardships, find it easy to believe that there's a heaven and a hell. Whereas us, here in America, sometimes you've got to have a reality and a wake-up call and say, hey, there's a real heaven, and yes, there is a real hell. And how could a loving God send somebody? No, when we reject the loving hand of God, our destiny is therefore fulfilled. If we say no to the Holy Spirit prompting us and calling us to God, then there's this thing there's this thing called hell that was prepared for the devil. And when we say no to God, it's a real place. And so with that in mind, we have to think about our future. And we have to think about not just today and not with what's going on right now, but Lord, where would you have me to go, and what would you have me to be for you? Amen. Jesus had to die. And he says that we have to as well, spiritually. And then, of course, physically one day. But we can live for him on our way there. And we can do it joyfully. When the world looks at us and says, how can you go on with all this taking place? How is it that you can go on? Well, we've got that hope within us. And that hope restores and continues. So if you are here today, and we don't know if you are flipping through YouTube, you might be going through Facebook. And if you've never had Jesus Christ, because see, this pandemic has caused many people to be out of church, but it's opened doors for those that are looking through the area of the internet to have an open door. And more than ever, does this gospel need to go out? And we're here at this church to let you know that there is a life other than the one that's physical, and that life is spiritual. And it's found in Christ Jesus. And the gospel, the good news, is that we do not have to go to hell when we die. The good news is that we can have right standing with God right now on the earth before that day comes. The good news is that we don't have to bring sacrifices anymore, as was the case in the Old Testament. The good news is that Jesus' blood was shed on that cross because he knew he had to be put on that cross in order that we might have access to God. Why does it always involve blood? Because God set it up that way. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. There is no way possible to God's access and to living right before God. And so Jesus' blood had to be shed. And his was the perfect blood. His was the one that was once and for all, as the scriptures talk about in Hebrews. No more has to be bloodshed for access to God. And so if you're looking today on the screen, if you're looking at me, if you're wondering, who is this guy? Well, this guy is here to tell you today that you're loved, first and foremost, from God through Christ. And that if you've never had Jesus Christ come into your heart, that today is that day. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And that you can receive Christ into your heart, and that there can be a change. And your life can mean something. Many of us wonder, why am I here? Well, one day, and you might not even realize it now, but one day it's going to kick in. But it's going to kick in after you've received Christ and after you've made him Lord. And we have to do this by faith. We do it by faith, and we do it by instruction of somebody saying, this is how you do it. I did when I was a little 9-year-old guy, and life changed for me. I asked him into my heart, and he changed my life. And it can happen at any time, at any place. And as you do that, as you accept him, as you make him your Lord, he will show you things you've never seen before and how worthful and that you really are, how much worth that your life has. So I'm bowing my head as you're watching. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to say, this as others agree with me. Lord, thank you for hearing me, even as my head is bowed and as I'm praying. And Father, I'm praying for those that may be watching that might need to say, "Hi, Jesus, I'm right here and I'm right now calling on your name. Will you hear me? Will you take my life? Will you make something of my life?" Come, dear Jesus. I might not know how to pray, but will you come and make yourself real to me? I've been doing this and I've been doing that, but I need you. And I don't see my life going anywhere except in circles. Or I've done something that is really wrong, and I need you now, and I need you to forgive me of what I've done. And so, please come. Please do something in my life today. Take my heart and make it yours. And take this sin from me and remove it as far as it can be removed. As I ask you into my heart to be my Savior, will you do this? Will you do this? Accept Him now, even as I pray. Lord, I pray that those that have heard this prayer and that may not even know how to pray, but that are reaching out to you in their heart, I pray that you would hear their call. And that, Father, that as they call out to you and ask for forgiveness of their sin because it separates them from you, we pray, dear God, that that life would be changed. And that, dear Father, I thank you that they have assurance of knowing you. They have assurance of knowing you if they're willing to pray and ask you to come into their life and to change them, that they might be born again and that their sins might be removed from them. Thank you, dear God, for these that are wandering and are praying today. Bless them, Father. And may they even get in touch with us here or with a local church that's preaching your name and speaking the truth in love, in Jesus' name. We give you praise today, Father, for these that have prayed with us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you. We thank you for your sweet spirits and all the wonderful things that we're hearing about you and seeing throughout the years and throughout the months. And thank you for, wow, having us come today and to speak words of life and peace in the midst of all that's going on. He is our hope. He is our stay. Yes. Amen. 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 All right, Pastor Morris. Blessings. Thank you.
Great job, David. Always do a great job.
Thank you.
Somewhere along the line, your mama and your daddy taught you to just preach the word. It'll do it every time. It's not the Reader's Digest or some magazine or some pop culture, but it's all about Him.
Yeah.
So thank you, David, for doing that. I don't have anything to add to what you said. I don't think I could have done it better myself. I'll try next week, okay? Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed. Thank those of you who are watching over Facebook and YouTube, and I know that you've been blessed today. Father, in Jesus' precious name, I thank you for this day. Lord, help us to get adjusted to the time change.
Yes.
It's wearies our bodies because our bodies know what time it is, even though the clock says something different. Father, be with the Riles family. Be with his families that David spoke of this morning that mean something more to him than I would normally know. Pray for Jules Hillary as he deals with the loss of his wife. And Father, we rejoice in you that you're the God of hope.
Yes.
In the midst of every storm, you're always there to bring peace. And we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you need prayer, we can do something for you. We'll be up here. Be glad to pray for you in Jesus' name.